If it's Monday, Paul Smart is in the house, and I guess the topic of today would be the school board elections.
It is, and I've got a mass of papers in front of me, and I'm trying to make
those of you who
I did
don't,
not collate them well. Before.
Those of you who don't have radio television, you can't see that he is inundated.
Just papers. It's just, trying to, I mean, the big thing, the vote is tomorrow. And this is what's been dominating the news cycle. It's been building up and building up. And now we're here. And tomorrow, basically, the rule of thumb is that most voting is going to take place from noon till about 9 p.m. Some places it starts at 1, sometimes it starts a little earlier, but that tends to be the rule of thumb in Columbia and Greene counties. The other rule of thumb is that most of your voting goes on at your local schools during those hours. So, but double check by calling your school districts just to make sure where the places are. As I go through this today, I'll give you most of the exact polling places where I have that information.
And as we hope to have it up on our website also, the information on the polling places and times.
Yep. Just before we start into the school thing, it was what a great weekend, huh?
Oh,
what a beautiful
fantastic
weekend. On Saturday, there was, the farmers market got going here in Hudson. Also in this area over in Columbia County, the big thing was there was a great big antiques fair that took place off the fairgrounds off Finger Road in Greenport on Saturday, and hundreds and hundreds of people came out. It was that time of year when you just want to buy some extra stuff you don't know what to do with. Yeah, I started seeing the first of the yard sales and garage sales going on.
Yes, yeah, they were out in full bloom. I was up in the watershed district making a barrel.
Okay.
At the barrel making event. They had about a dozen or so people showed up there, and they supplied us with barrels and taught us about rain barrels, and then gave total strangers screwdrivers and pliers and stuff.
You know, we've come a long way from 9/11 and the heightened security. That would have been considered an orange, maybe a red activity.
I managed to get through it without gouging a part of my skin out.
That's good. I'll never forget the first time I ever tried, woodcuts. And I don't know if you've ever used those materials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those little circular things. You get that into your palm, it
yes.
really hurts.
You can really gouge out a piece.
Yeah. The other big thing that occurred over in Greene County this past weekend, besides all the activities around the Occupy project there, which, there's some fascinating workshops and the like, was the annual Fortnightly Club Wine and Cheese event. And the Fortnightly Club is this group of I believe it's all ladies at this point, but I'm sure they're open to having, everybody involved. But they do a lot of good for the town, and their big fundraiser took place on Saturday afternoon down at the Point, or Dutchman's Landing, and they had a whole wine and cheese event, and the fabulous Lex Gray played. She also played yesterday. That was our Mother's Day thing. We went out to see Lex and her band, which included WGXC favorite Brian DeWan on keyboards.
I love Brian.
Yeah, he had refurbished a new or a really old organ and had it up and just sounding spectacular. And it was a great deal of fun. It was over in Palinville. And then our family, we went on a really nice 2-hour walk up into the Ramshorn Livingston bird watching area.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's a lot of fun. Just a shout out to my wife and son's mother for Mother's Day, and to all those mothers out
yes,
there.
Yes, happy Mother's Day, all of you mothers out there. What would we do?
Yeah,
let's face facts.
Yeah, we'd be sitting here hungry, and
we wouldn't be sitting here. That's
yeah,
correct.
We'd still be in bed probably. There was also up on the mountaintop in Hunter. There was a big 39 mile Hunter Mountain Spring Cycling Classic, and it drew quite a few people and was a big event as well. other just local news, you know, that caught my eye, you know, briefly, is that Columbia Green is now looking into doing a whole kind of a farm center, distribution center, to take advantage of the growing market and number of people who are producing for locavore markets.
Oh, that's great.
And that's a, you know, a big jump. And then the little kind of, you know, purely Hudson battle that's going on has to do with, you know, the powerful and fascinating... How did they put it, with the powerful and something or other, the powerful and mysterious Oz? Yeah, the powerful and mysterious Galvan initiatives, which is, you know, the big, you know, it's very rare that a town or a small city gets an entity coming in that wants to spread a lot of money in involving real estate and renovation. Well, the latest little bubble around all of that came when they're proposing moving to historic structures to Union Street, and it's kind of bringing them more into view, I think, is their idea, and finding a way of kind of making the center of Hudson a little more intact. One of the two structures was is located down near the waterfront on 2nd Street, called the Robert Taylor House, and it's reported to be the oldest building in Hudson, and certainly looks like it, but the Hudson Historic Preservation Commission rejected the proposal to move that building. There was another building. They said, okay, go ahead and move it. But let's see if that one comes back to haunt us at some point.
Oh, boy.
But let's just jump into this mass of papers I have. And it's not – I had it in order, but I did not collate it.
Vote.
Yep. It was shooting out of the printer this morning just at a fast pace. So – in Chatham, you know, the big thing is that the school board president, John Wapner, is retiring his seat. He's been on for 8 years and president of the board for the last 7 years. And this is a trend we're seeing across the area. There are a lot of board presidents who are leaving and a lot of long-term incumbents who are stepping back. And I think it's a combination of the 2% tax cap has just made it very difficult to be on a school board. You know, especially when you've come on to protect education, to be balancing that against all these taxpayer needs is very difficult. So we're seeing a lot of burnout. In Chatham, Wapner is leaving the board, and there's a number of people vying. David O'Connor, who's been on the board for 5 years, is running for re-election. He serves on a lot of different committees. Michael Clark, who's been on for 7 years, is also running for re-election this year. He's been on the policy committee, et cetera, and works at Powell House, a Quaker retreat center. It seems to be had worked with the Peace Corps, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have, as the kind of newcomer in the equation, or newcomers in the equation, you have Jennifer Lindberg, who's she's got a daughter in the 5th grade, and as she said, I noticed there were openings on the board, and it was the right time for me, and it was something that I've always been interested in. So it's looks like it's going to be not a tight race, but there's a little bit of blood coming in and some changes, and it won't be – it's not monumental. Where it is monumental around here, the kind of biggest district battle – lining up is in Germantown. And in Germantown, the reason that's so major right now is that, you know, there's a 2% tax cap. You can go over it if you're willing to basically gamble your budget. It's an all or nothing sort of gamble. And nobody I've seen in the entire Hudson Valley is doing this except for Germantown. So all eyes on Germantown, where they're going to have an up or down vote on it's a relatively small budget comparatively, $13,678,668, but that is a 5.2% tax levy, and they're trying to keep everybody around 2%. It most of them go are like 2.36%. A few districts are up around 2.5, 2.6%, depending on the amount of school aid they're getting in. But they're going for Their tax increase would have been 1.77% because of the amount of school aid that they get. It's a district that's getting richer, actually, in terms of the number of second homes has affected the way it is over there. So they're going for a 5.2% tax levy break, which means it has to be approved by 60% of the electorate. If it doesn't get approved, the board has 30 days to provide an alternative budget. If that fails again, then they go to contingency. Contingency at this point means it has to be equal to or less than the cost of living. There it would mean it would not, a contingency budget in Germantown would not allow the district to raise a tax levy at all. So cuts would have to be made everywhere across the district.
So that's going to be one of their, and is there a possibility that the electorate will vote the budget down?
You know, I've seen this discussion in other districts, and I don't think they would be going for it unless they thought they had a good shot at it. But there's always a possibility. The only other place I saw this really seriously considered was down in Ulster County in the Rondout Valley district, where they just closed down one of their three elementary schools and shifted all their completely reconfigured their district. So there's a lot of busing issues. Now, going along with those busing issues, there's been a lot of bullying on buses, and they've had hate crime charges filed there from bus activities. And just this past weekend, a couple seniors ended up in critical care where they were riding on back roads trying to surf on top of their cars. There's just a lot of, it's sort of like when a family gets divorced and the kids, end up acting it out in various ways. So that's the only other place I've seen it come that close, and they didn't go with it because they just couldn't ascertain and they didn't want to gamble things worse. In Germantown, they are doing that gamble, but that's because they're, because of the state aid and other equations that are at play. In terms of their, that's also being reflected in their school board election, where you've got five candidates vying for two seats. That's a biggie.
Wow.
For the, there are two incumbents in the race. David Foreman, who's been on for a while and who actually missed the recent Meet the Candidates event, which, I don't know if that's good or bad. And Ralph Del Pozo, they're the two incumbents. And then there are three, Del Pozo is a realtor who's been in Germantown for 25 years and ran a sporting goods store before that, I think right here in Hudson. And you've got three newcomers kind of representing all different aspects of the community. So that's, look for some real changes. And I suspect that Germantown may be the most interesting of our races this year. The Taconic Hills, where there's been a lot of back and forth and difficulty over the past year with lawsuits and actions and reprimands coming down from above. You've got three candidates for two open board seats and not a whole lot of controversy, which is sort of a surprise to a lot of people. And that may be the result of it being a consolidated district where everything got, it's the model for centralization in this whole region, where they closed down all the outlying schools and brought everything onto a central campus. And what you have there is a former school board member, Paul Robertson, a retired Taconic Hills teacher, and then a district resident parent, all running for two spots that one of them had been held by the present board president, Ron Morales, and then the other is Robert McComb, who is one of the people who had come under some difficulty with conflict of interest charges, et cetera.
Okay. So in Taconic Hills, we have three people running for two seats.
Yes, and the interesting thing there is a board member who served from 2000 to 2010, looking to get back on, trying to play off of his previous experience. And a lot of the background information there, they've had a lot of battles. teachers versus administration. So that's probably going to play out in the voting there. Up in New Lebanon, which is kind of on the edges of our listening area, you've got two people running for two seats. So this is how it usually runs up in New Lebanon. It's very, very quiet up there, quite rural. In Coxsackie, the Coxsackie-Athens district, you've had the budget is going to increase 2.99%, which is at the very high end of the tax cap. They just squeaked under on that. And I'll have to come back to – oh, here it is. Okay. It's a $25.9 million budget. That represents a 3.44% increase in spending. They're pulling on their kind of saved monies quite a bit. And you've got three incumbents, Seth Garland, Maureen Hance, and Barton Wallace, all seeking re-election. And then you've got two new comers to the race, the former school board member Michael Petromalli, who lost last year, and then a newcomer, Michael Donahue, who is writing a lot of letters to the to local papers. He's been very involved, very active in campaigning. The interesting thing there is that longstanding school board president Carol Mercer has dropped back and is not running. So that's what's kind of lighting up that that race overall. Up on the mountaintop in Windham, it's just, from what I can tell, they've had school board hearings. The budget's going up like 1.5%. It's under 2%, and only two or three people have been coming out to each of the hearings on it. There's just, but they were battered by Irene.
Yeah,
they're
still rebuilding, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot of rebuilding effort. I haven't heard anything about a school board race in my – I vaguely remember saying something here a few weeks back that I seem to remember there is no race, that it's two incumbents or three incumbents just running for re-election. Across the ridgeline up there at Hunter Tannersville Central School Board, the budget seems to be in pretty good shape, and there are three newcomers all battling for one spot on the school board at this point, and that's Melissa Glennon of Tannersville, Bobby Joe Matthews of Haines Falls, and John Berger of Westkill. He's a town councilman in the town of Lexington, and from the look of it, everybody seems to be basically on the same page towards they're objecting to the cuts that occurred to teachers, saying, why don't we cut more from the administration?
Uh-huh.
And that's a, but Hunter Tannersville has a, tends to be slightly more liberal than a lot of the areas around here. And that's because there's a kind of bastion of for years, the head of the state Democratic Party lived in Hunter, and he must have somehow spread some largesse or something. pulling back down into this direction, let me just catch up with this for a second. In Catskill, you've got five candidates for, I believe it's three spots. It's Ernest Armstead, Courtney Parrish, Tracy Darling, Lisa Warner, and Matthew Leipman. And they had a Meet the Candidates event just recently. And we went to the Meet the Candidates event last year there in Catskill, and everybody seems to be very earnest and tends to be on the same page again. Where it's one of those districts that works very hard to, to maintain what is special about its school district, and that's reflected in they have a fairly strong, hardworking school superintendent in Dr. Kathleen Farrell, who works towards this line. Okay, here's some more on Catskill. Liebman is an incumbent, and Warner served previously. That's Lisa Warner previously served on the Board of Education. Armstead was on the ballot in a previous year, not last year, and then Tracy Darling and Courtney Parrish are seeking election for the first time there. So it should be an interesting shakedown. And then finally, you come down with here in Hudson, and you know, where the budget is $41,550,000 with a tax levy of 2.78%, and they're choosing two candidates for school board, one for a 5-year term and one for a single year term. And it's just two candidates, it looks like, running for those seats. So there's, you know, everybody had been expecting some sort of a race there because there was a lot of controversy around the budget and around several decisions made over the past year, which a lot of people felt were, you know, disrespectful of the voting public. And then, you know, in the year since, Peter Mayer, who was one of the kind of more active and also one of the more controversial of the board members, vacated his seat. You know, somebody was, another seat came open when Jeff Oddie passed away and his wife filled the seat. Mm. And at this point, it's almost like the district is slightly shell-shocked with people kind of just seeking to move on. They're actually, you know, so Oddie is, Oddie's wife, Carrie Oddie, is seeking re-election, and then we have newcomer Tiffany Martin Hamilton, who attended the school district, and she's manager for a software and services company, and she's seeking to get on the board. But it looks like there's no real major, you know, after a whole year of battling and back and forth and media attention, things have just kind of stepped back there. And then finally, in Taconic Hills, I've got an awful lot of information here, but it's not in the order. But you know, it's five candidates running for three seats on the board, from what I can tell. And they always have hot elections up there. Here we go. The candidates are Barbara Ann Johnson Heimroth, Jeremy. It's four out of five candidates. There are four available seats, five candidates at the Ichabod Crane School District. Barbara Ann Johnson Heimroth, Jeremy M. Insull, incumbent Bruce Naramore, Cheryl Francier Trevsger, who I remember running last year, and Jeffrey Ouellette. And the board, one board member has relinquished his seat, and one seat's also being made available upon the recent resignation of board president Andrew Kramarczyk. So, and then there's a remaining available seat that was never filled after board member Edward Hansen left the position last May. So that's going to be a pretty interesting race. The Ouellette, Jeffrey Ouellette, announced his run at the beginning of 2010, has really been aiming to get on there, and Trevsker has run before as well. So you're going to see some major changes in at Ichabod Crane and at a lot of our districts after tomorrow.
Yeah, well, those are the two districts that had the that voted against Hudson and Ichabod Crane were the two that voted down their budgets last year, are they not? If I can remember. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ichabod Crane was the story about the football field.
Yep, and then in Hudson, they voted it down, and then the board went and kind of reinstated it, and that's where the port.
Hudson was the big
And so that's where everybody was expecting there would be more candidates in Hudson, and you know, they showed up in Kinderhook instead, or Kinderhook Valencia. So we'll see, and then, you know, we'll have some analysis of what went on next week. And again, the one that's really I'm paying attention to here, besides, you know, being in Catskill and always paying attention to that, But the Germantown gamble is one that looks really interesting. And I bet you a lot of people around the state are looking at that to see, you know, what happens when a school district, you know, due to demographic changes within its boundaries, kind of gets forced into a position where it has to gamble in this sort of fashion. And how does that then get related into its school board composition? So we'll have a sense to look at all of that next week.
Yeah, and we'll try to talk to some of the principals involved after the election is over and pass that information off on to you.
Yep, and then for the coming week, there's a lot of you know, great activities. Everybody's getting out more and more. The just as an aside, I brought up the whole thing with the Union Mills auction, which didn't pull a lot of people, but there seems to be some activity right now around that property in Catskill. The other kind of interesting thing going on in Catskill, and you know, for the sake of disclosure, I have to bring up the fact that I mentioned a lot of this Occupy Wall Street and Greene County Council of the Arts stuff because my wife works for them, and I do want to get fed when I get home and woken up in the morning, etc. But the big event going on there this weekend is, I don't know if any of you have heard about this Transition Towns movement that's going on, where communities start coming together outside of elected politics and you know, town hall, to discuss different ways. It came up as a way of discussing how a town can become more sustainable, how it can become more green, et cetera. And it's kind of morphed from that into discussing all sorts of ways of just making a town feel more of a community and less just a political entity. And there's a number of communities down in Ulster County that have been doing this successfully, including Saugerties, I think New Paltz, and then kind of the leading light in all of this is the town of Marbletown, which is where Stone Ridge is. In Woodstock, the efforts are being led by a number of people at the KTD Tibetan Monastery up on the mountain there. They're coming to Catskill on Saturday. I think it's going from 10 till about 6. Just all these visioning exercises and workshops and the like on just how to make community Catskill into a more coherent community. So that should be quite interesting. I was looking at the birthdays, and at first it looked like slim pickings, but then I realized
no,
you know, that was simply from the lens I had on.
That's
which
right.
Was pop culture and the big pop culture birthday is the great David Byrne, who has spent a lot of time up in this area, believe it or not, at a friend of mine's trailer on her property where he kind of goes for sustenance. But the some of the other birthdays that caught my attention were George Lucas, who kind of changed a lot of our fantasy landscape through his Star Wars epics.
Wow, that's right. That's right.
And then speaking of changing utopian landscapes, there's a fellow from the 19th century, Robert Owen, who was one of those people who kind of imagined communal living and actually brought it into action for a number of years. And there were a lot of experiments across this country for years, especially out in the Midwest, and he'd be something, you know, close to 200 at this point. And then also dipping into music, there's just a beloved clarinetist, Sidney Bechet, who has influenced tons and tons of musicians, both on his instrument and just for his great musicality and the way he kind of embodied a certain New Orleans gracefulness and elegance in all his playing. And the last thing I noted from the kind of Wikipedia birthday list for the day was that it was the birthday of Albert Einstein's son, Hans. And I thought, and this was during the period of time when he was coming up with the theory of relativity. And
oh, my goodness.
That's something that really needs to be just brought to attention, that kind of, you know, effervescent feeling one has at the birth of one's first child, a son, you know, while struggling through one of the great, you know, discoveries of mankind. is epical in a way.
Well, today is also the birthday of Mark Zuckerberg.
Ah.
Okay. The gazillionaire. And he's only 28 years old. He's 28 years old today. Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, he's invited to be on the show next week.
That's correct.
he wins an invite.
As a matter of fact, next time we have a rally, next time we have a fundraiser, we will invite Mark to sit in.
Yep, and then you know, and then we'll, why don't we each send our wives over to wake him up?
So we have that birthday. And anything else? Because I got one more birthday, but that'll be my teaser.
I think I've wrapped up for right now. So
okay, well, thank you, Paul. And don't forget, folks, over these next couple of days, tomorrow is Election Day. And as Paul and I and Lynn have been emphasizing over and over again, these elections are important to you, even if you do not have children in school. Don't wrap up those headphones yet. I've got to pick at you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
Walden Robert Cassato was born today in 1936.
Well, I'm looking straight at the name, but I'm not going to say what it is. But
yeah, right.
I'm cheating, but I still can't remember which songs.
Walden Robert Cassato was born on May 14th, 1936, and passed away on December 20th, 1973. He had a lot of big hits.
Oh, wasn't there a great movie that Kevin Spacey did?
And he was also in a and he also did a movie himself. So it would be his 76th birthday today.
And he was somebody that went from kind of pure pop into something much more,
kind of finger pop and stuff.
Yeah.
He, that was, well, why don't I just play it? He, went from the classic sound to kind of a real rock and roll song sound. So if you don't know who, Walden is, I guess I have to tell you, that would be the one and only Bobby Darin. Bobby Darin.